Hi, Dave Emery here. This is Side 2, for the record, program number 815. Welcome to Snake at Al Jazeera. This is being recorded on October 16th of the year 2014. We're going to plunge right back in where we left off at the end of Side 1. In addition to a physician who teaches at the hospital that at which Arafat was treated, and who is an expert on radiation poisoning, who just said flat out, no way was Arafat poisoned with polonium. A German expert as well has weighed in a similar vein. This is from Deutsche Welle of August 7th of 2012. Polonium would be hardly detectable, unquote. And this reads in part, Professor Dr. Thomas Fanghanel, F-A-N-G-H-A-N-E-L, is director of the Institute for Transuranium Elements, or ITU, in Karlsruhe, Germany, a joint research center with the European Commission. Among other things, the ITU carries out nuclear forensic testing. Quote, I assume that it would be very difficult to prove poisoning after 8 years, he said. Around 20 half-life periods would have passed since then. After 20 half-life periods, only a few millionths of the original material will still be present, unquote. The question is this. Is the amount detected significantly higher than that which is naturally present in the environment? Due to the half-life period and the period of time which has since elapsed, I'm assuming it would be extremely difficult to prove with any certainty that this is the polonium-210 which came into contact with the clothing 10 years ago. And so, again, a German expert has reinforced the professional opinion of the French doctor whom we quoted earlier in On Side 1. Now, again, note the chain of this particular operation. We're going to take a look now at Clayton Swisher. He is the fellow who was a State Department security expert, translation, spook, who guarded Arafat and then went to work for Al Jazeera. And this was basically, he presided over this op. This is from the Newcastle News of May 10th of 2013. Who killed Arafat? Neshanik grad nominated for prestigious award for investigation of late Palestinian leader. This is by Kayleen, K-A-Y-L-E-E-N, Kubel, C-U-B-B-A-L. It reads in part of Clayton Swisher. The 36-year-old Neshanik High graduate, the manager of investigative journalism for Al Jazeera Media Network, led a group that released a film, Who Killed Arafat? Al Jazeera Investigates, which is nominated for an award for Best Current Affairs Documentary at Sunday's British Academy of Film and Television Arts at Royal Festival Hall in London. The BAFTAs are the equivalent of the Emmy Awards in the U.S. Skipping down. While at Pitt, Swisher served in the Marine Corps Reserves with a military police company in North Versailles, and following his graduation, spent 3 years as a special agent with the U.S. State Department's Diplomatic Security Service. Translation, spook. Continuing. It was there that he came to meet Arafat while serving as a bodyguard to him on four occasions in 2000 during attempts by the U.S. to negotiate a settlement to the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. The first time was during Arafat's June visit to the U.S. The second was later that month during the Secretary of State Madeleine Albright's visit with Arafat in Ramallah in the occupied West Bank. And later that year, the final chance arose during an emergency meeting at the residence of the U.S. ambassador to France with Albright and then CIA Director George Tenet. In 2007, Clayton Swisher joined Al Jazeera, and he was head of their, quote, investigative journalism branch. Please note the quotes. in skipping down again, in late 2011, Swisher, who lives in Doha, Qatar, headquarters of the Al Jazeera Media Network, initiated a cold case investigation into Arafat's death. He traveled to Malta and obtained his entire medical files from Arafat's widow, Sua Arafat. Sua later provided Swisher with a gym bag that contained her husband's last personal belongings, which were in his possession at a French military hospital where he died on November 11th, 2004. Swisher took all the items Sua had given him to Europe's leading forensic laboratory, the University Center for Legal Medicine in Lausanne, Switzerland. Parenthetically, I would also note that Switzerland is a major underground Reich epicenter. Their banking facilities and institutions have long been heavily dependent on and trafficked Nazi funds from the pre-World War II period right on up to the present. It also, Switzerland that is a major area for operations for the Bormann Capital Network. More about French descent from that verdict out of Switzerland. This is from the Telegraph in the UK of December 3rd of 2013. French experts, quote, rule out Yasser Arafat poisoning theory. This is an Agence France-Presse story, the French press agency. It reads in part, French experts have ruled out a theory that Yasser Arafat was killed by poisoning, a source close to the investigation into the Palestinian leader's 2004 death told AFP. The report rules out the poisoning theory and goes in the sense of a natural death, unquote, the source said. The French experts' findings differ significantly from that of Swiss scientists who said last month that their research offered some support for the suggestion Arafat was killed by polonium poisoning. Rumors and speculation have surrounded Arafat's death since a quick deterioration of his health saw his passing at a military hospital near Paris in November of 2004 at the age of 75. French doctors were unable to say what killed him. Parenthetically, doctors who treated him were prevented by French law from commenting. French doctors were unable to say what killed him, and an autopsy was never performed at the request of his widow. Parenthetically, had there been suspicion, an autopsy would have been the very first thing with which to begin a serious forensic investigation. And Arafat's widow, who did not live with Arafat, basically put the whammy on the autopsy. Continuing, many Palestinians believed he was poisoned by Israel, a claim repeatedly denied by the Jewish state. Israeli Foreign Ministry spokesman Yigal Palmor, P-A-L-M-O-R, told AFP the results of the French probe were, quote, no surprise, unquote. France opened a formal murder inquiry into his death in August of 2012, a month after an Al Jazeera documentary linked his death to polonium poisoning. Some 60 samples were taken from Arafat's remains in November of 2012 and divided between Swiss and Russian investigators and a French team carrying out a probe at his widow's request. But the prosecutor's office in the Paris suburb of Nanterre, N-A-N-T-E-R-R-E, which is conducting the French probe, and a lawyer for Arafat's widow, Sua, refused to comment on the investigation's findings Tuesday. Palestinian Justice Minister Ali Mana, M-H-A, N as in Nancy A, last month urged France to release the results of its probe, saying the Palestinians were sure Arafat had been poisoned and that Israel was the, quote, only suspect in his death. Israeli President Shimon Peres, who shared the 1994 Nobel Peace Prize with Arafat, and Israeli Prime Minister Yitzhak Rabin, said last month that the reports of polonium poisoning were unbelievable. Quote, if someone had wanted to get rid of Arafat, it would have been easier to do it with a bullet, he said. The Swiss team's findings sparked fresh accusations from the Palestinians and increased tensions with Israel at a delicate time. U.S. brokered peace talks resumed at the end of July after a three-year gap, but have already hit a deadlock over Israeli settlement expansion in the occupied West Bank on the land the Palestinians want for a future state. So again, note that French and German experts, among others, have simply dismissed outright the contentions of the Swiss team. And again, note that this basically is an Al Jazeera op. Arafat's widow gives the head of Al Jazeera's investigative reporting division, it probably belongs in quotes, a former State Department security guy, translation spook, some personal effects which she says Arafat had with him in the hospital. And then 7+, almost 8 years after his death, they come up with what they claim are indications that he may have been poisoned with polonium-210. Again, bear in mind that a piece the size of a grain of salt, if ingested, is deadly, and that the substance has a half-life of 138 days, meaning that after 138 days, half of the original mass would have experienced nuclear decay and would no longer be radioactive. And again, bearing in mind Al Jazeera's central role in what basically, frankly, appears to be an op, consider the following. We've talked about this before. The Washington Post of November 5th, of 2013, Egypt's Muslim Brotherhood finds havens abroad. This is by Abigail Hausloner, H-A-U-S-L-O-H-N-E-R. It reads in part, skipping down, cast out by or perhaps saved from the harshest political crackdown in recent Egyptian history. A handful of Muslim Brotherhood and other Islamist leaders found refuge here in the Qatari capital, where while others traveled to Istanbul, London, and Geneva. The exiles' community is small, disorganized, and ideologically diverse, ranging from relatively moderate Islamist politicians to hardline Salafists, groups that less than 2 years ago competed against each other in Egypt's parliamentary and presidential elections. Now, as they push back against the July coup that toppled their country's first democratically elected president, Mohamed Morsi, they are on the same team. At the same time, an exile leadership is starting to take shape here among the shimmering high-rises of Doha. Several of the exiles live temporarily in hotel suites paid for by Qatar's state-run Arabic satellite network Al Jazeera. And it is in those suites and hotel lobbies that the future of Egypt's Muslim Brotherhood and, more broadly, the strategy and ideology of political Islam in the country may well be charted. So note that Al Jazeera specifically is paying for the hotel suites with some of the members of the Muslim Brotherhood who had been cast out of Egypt, the suites in which they were staying, paid for by Al Jazeera. For the record, 787, by the way, goes into the Muslim Brotherhood Spring, popularly known as the Arab Spring. We have covered in the past the very favorable coverage given the Muslim Brotherhood by Al Jazeera. That should come as no surprise. From Global Muslim Brotherhood Daily Watch of July 9th of 2013. This, by the way, feeds along the lower right-hand side of the front page of the SpitfireList.com website. Al Jazeera Egypt staff resign over orders to, quote, favor, unquote, the Muslim Brotherhood. This reads in part. Gulf Media is reporting that 22 members of the Al Jazeera Egyptian Bureau have resigned in protest over what they say were instructions from the management to, quote, favor the Muslim Brotherhood, unquote. According to a Gulf News report, the news channel Al Jazeera Mubasher Misr, M-U-B-A-S-H-E-R-M-I-S-R, saw 22 members of its staff resign on Monday in Egypt over what they alleged was coverage that was out of sync with real events in Egypt. Anchor Karem Mahmoud, K-A-R-E-M, last name capital M-A-H-M-O-U-D, announced that the staff had resigned in protest against what he called biased coverage, unquote, of the events in Egypt by the Qatari broadcaster. Mahmoud said that the resignations had been brought about by a perceived lack of commitment and Al Jazeera professionalism in media coverage, adding that, quote, the management in Doha, Qatar, provokes sedition among the Egyptian people and has an agenda against Egypt and other Arab countries, unquote. Mahmoud added that the management used to instruct each staff member to favor the Muslim Brotherhood. He said that, quote, there are instructions to us to telecast certain news, unquote. Hagag, H-A-G-G-A-G, Salama, S-A-L-A-M-A, a correspondent of the network in Luxor, Egypt, had resigned on Sunday, accusing it of, quote, airing lies and misleading viewers, unquote. He announced his resignation in a phone interview with Dream 2 Channel. Meanwhile, four Egyptian members of the editorial staff at Al Jazeera's headquarters in Doha resigned in protest against what they termed a biased editorial policy, unquote, pertaining to the events in Egypt. Ala Al-Ayoti, a news producer, told Gulf News by phone, that's capital A-L-A hyphen A, capital A-L, capital A-I-O-T-I, continuing. In 2009, Egyptian authorities were reported to be in the process of revoking Al Jazeera's license to broadcast and that the network was planning to close its bureau office in Cairo. Leaked U.S. State Department cables indicate that Al Jazeera, based in Qatar and funded by the Qatari government, operates as an arm of Qatari foreign policy, which has recently been strongly supportive of the Muslim Brotherhood and the recently deposed Mohamed Morsi. And I would note that we have some other articles in this particular, in the written description for the record 815 about the pro-Muslim Brotherhood bias of Al Jazeera, including this one, also from the Global Muslim Brotherhood daily, the Global Muslim Brotherhood Watch of January 8th of 2014. Al Jazeera faces criticism in Egypt over its coverage of Muslim Brotherhood. The Washington Post has featured a story titled Al Jazeera Faces Criticism in Egypt Over Its Coverage of Muslim Brotherhood, unquote, which looks at criticism of Al Jazeera over its relationship to the Muslim Brotherhood. The story begins, quote, ever since the military's ouster of Egyptian President Mohamed Morsi in July, Al Jazeera, the pioneering Arab language news broadcast, hasn't shrunk from calling his removal something the American government won't, a coup. That highly loaded declaration, as well as its relentless and, critics say, sympathetic coverage of Morsi and the Muslim Brotherhood movement, has turned Al Jazeera into a virtual enemy of the state in Egypt. Its journalists have been harassed and banned, and five remain in custody, including three who were arrested last week for allegedly harming national security. Al Jazeera's local TV studios in Egypt, though, and its transnational satellite transmissions have been shut down, forcing its few remaining Egyptian journalists to work from makeshift facilities such as a Cairo hotel room, skipping down again. Since then, Egyptian authorities and Al Jazeera's critics, including some of the network's own employees, have accused it of being a mouthpiece for Morsi and the now outlawed Muslim Brotherhood. Al Jazeera has given a lot of support to the Muslim Brotherhood. There's no doubt about that, said Hugh Miles, a freelance journalist in Cairo and the author of Al Jazeera, the inside story of the Arab news channel that is challenging the West. And again, this in the context of the fact that the entire Arafat was poisoned by polonium 210. It basically is an Al Jazeera op. The effects allegedly in the possession of Yasser Arafat when he was in the hospital were given to Clayton Swisher, former State Department security guy, by Sua Arafat, Arafat's widow, who not only did not live with Arafat, but who specifically prevented an autopsy being performed at the time of his death. And then, lo and behold, traces of polonium-210 allegedly turn up on those effects, allegedly in the possession of Yasser Arafat when he was in the hospital. I would note, too, that the pro-Muslim Brotherhood bias of Al Jazeera is so pronounced that Qatar is now launching a news channel to specifically counterbalance Al Jazeera because of the fact that it is so widely and correctly seen as simply being a mouthpiece propaganda outlet for the Muslim Brotherhood. Again, an Islamic fascist organization allied with the Axis in World War II and then utilized as anti-communist cadre during the Cold War, particularly supported by CIA. And then in the last couple of decades, they have been used to promote corporatist economics in the Third World and the Muslim world in particular. Of Qatar launching a competitor to Al Jazeera because of Al Jazeera's pro-Muslim brotherhood bias, we read in the National AE of May 5th of 2014, an article by Justin, J-U-S-T-I-N, Vela, V-E-L-A, Qatar to launch Al Jazeera counterweight, and this reads in part, Qatar is launching a new television station as a political counterweight to Al Jazeera amid concern the network has become too supportive of the Muslim Brotherhood. The new station is to be an Arabic language news channel based in London and broadcasting across the Arab world. It is one of several new media ventures launched under the Emir of Qatar, Sheikh Tamim bin Hamad Al Thani, T-H-A-N-I, who succeeded his father in June and is seeking to put his own stamp on the country's vast soft power machine. The driving force behind the new station is Azmi Azmi Bishara, B-I-S-H-A-R-A, the Palestinian director of the Doha-based Arab Center for Research and Policy Studies and a close confidant of the Emir. And skipping down, Bishara recommended that it be started. His own beliefs are that Qatar has been too close to the Ikhwan, i.e. the Muslim Brotherhood, for too long. Mr. Stevens, as Michael Stevens, Deputy Director of the Royal United Services Institute for Defense and Security Studies of Qatar. Mr. Stevens said the channel, named Al Arabi Television Network, was supposed to launch in January, but kept getting pushed back. And again, the rest of the story goes into the pro-Muslim Brotherhood bias of Al Jazeera. We have already talked about that. Many of its Al Jazeera's Egyptian staff resigned in protest over exactly that bias. Now, at the end of the written description, for the record, 815, there is a broadcast interview with Yasser Arafat's personal physician, and he states in no uncertain terms that Yasser Arafat died of AIDS. And again, considering that A, Arafat did not live with his wife. She lived in Paris. He lived in various places, most recently Ramallah in the West Bank. That raises some interesting questions. Again, bearing in mind that Sua Arafat specifically prevented an autopsy from being performed at the time of Arafat's death, that is suspicious as well. If she thought Arafat had been killed, then an autopsy should have been performed immediately, and that certainly would have been the first step on any serious investigative pathway of the circumstances surrounding PLO leader Yasser Arafat's death. Again, as I mentioned earlier in the broadcast, one of the possibilities that has to be seriously considered is that Arafat himself may very well have been gay. I mean, conceivably, he may have been an intravenous drug user, but somehow, according to his personal physician, he contracted AIDS, and that is what killed him. again, in the Arab, and much of the Arab and Muslim culture is very hostile to gays. And if in fact, as I suspect, Yasser Arafat was a closeted gay, if he had come out of the closet and admitted his sexual orientation, it would have been very destructive to his public persona as a warrior in the Arab and Muslim world because of that prejudice. And the link to the broadcast interview will be at the end of the written description, for the record, 8:15. And again, the context here is Serpent's Walk and the fact that Al Jazeera is now broadcasting into American homes as part of their cable TV packages. And with this particular report, unquote, supposedly investigative journalism, again, by the head of investigative journalism for Al Jazeera, a former State Department security guy, and basically this was his show. It was Al Jazeera's op from start to finish. We should take a very good look at what our media are telling us. Certainly media distortion, politicized news, particularly in the Cold War era with the mighty Wurlitzer, as it was known, that was and is the CIA's media component. It was christened as such by Frank Wisner. We're certainly not strangers to doctored news, but with the Serpent's Walk scenario and with the Al Jazeera's presence, with Al Jazeera's presence on the American media landscape, we need to view things that they have to say with a very, very sharp, critical eye. And again, all of the articles I've read and some supplemental material are in the written description for the record 8:15. This concludes Side 2 of For the Record, program number 8:15, Walking the Snake at Al Jazeera. This is being recorded on October 16th of the year 2014. I'm Dave Emery. Ciao.